Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Welcome back, folks, and you better strap in. We're not going to be riding a rocket. We're going to be riding a missile. And just so you understand the difference, a rocket, when you launch, you kind of point it in a direction and you hope, based on your pointing and guessing, that it's going to be very close to the target. We're asking you to strap onto a missile, because this is a guidance system built into this that we will actually take you to the point of where we need to be. And so, believe you me, there's a lot of opportunities for people to waste their time. And so in economics, because this has been around for eons, economics developed an economic term called opportunity costs. And so the question is, what is the opportunity cost? I constantly deal with this as we have to struggle every year during the legislative season over the opportunity cost and the waste of time in discussing a convention of states. It almost seems like the opponents to the convention of states enjoys the time, because it gives them an opportunity to prove their prowess in wrestling the pig. Now, if we really look at both sides, and I adamantly state this, that both sides are patriots. They're just divided over a misgiven, and both sides are doing this because both sides enjoy the opportunity. And so I do not see, because I'm telling you right now, folks, the John Birch Society years ago could have actually taken a direction with Republic Review, and they would have just silenced the Convention of States had they done that. I've had these conversations and most people go, you know what, you're absolutely right. This actually kills the argument. And as a matter of fact, I'm just kind of letting some calm take over me, because the real reason why I'm asking you to strap in is I'm going to kind of go over, you know, what's next or what's coming up. But what I'm going to do over the next couple of days is, I'll just say, kind of rant, and or, you know, let's say, yell, or let's say, you know, articulate or argue or maybe plead. You come up with the term. I mean, you know, it comes down to this, that when we look at all options, when we stop in a binary position, in other words, this way or that way, this way or that way, you know, sometimes we do reach a fork in the road, but there's always another direction. We can go back the way we came, right? We don't have to go down those paths. We can always go back the way we came. Some people say you can't go back. I believe we can. When it comes to very specific things, I think you can go back. And I can prove that we can go back. We can go back to the founding of this nation and restore it. Yeah, there's been a lot of bells that have been rung, and I think we could be better for it. Absolutely. I know we would be better for it if we go back. But the problem is, do we join an organization? Do we need to have, and when I say an organization, I'm not talking about something within your county. I'm talking about a movement afoot. You know, there are different movements out there, right? We've been covering the assemblies. We've been covering the committees of safety. We've been covering all of these different types of organizations. Now, let me ask you this. What is best for you? You know, let's back up for a second. In working with organizations, what do they bring to the table? Well, they bring to the table, like you could work with the American Policy Center and Tom DeWeese and his pods. And they bring a very specific paradigm of this is what you have to do. And the question I have is, does that actually dissolve? Does it actually dissolve the tyranny coming from the federal government? Because we all see problems within our own states. California could literally fall into the ocean economically because of Newsom. The crap that's going on in California, it could fall. It could be the first state to fall before the United States. Illinois, maybe. New York, possibly. But California, everybody's nodding their head. Definitely nodding their head because it is absolutely insane, unconstitutional. They've gone that far off of the trail. And I'm going, look at what happened. Look at what happened to the good weather fruits and nuts, where the fruits had literally taken over and then the nuts are leading them. And so what we have to do is we have to start looking at what organizations really do bring to the table. I mean, do they really bring anything of value? Are they really focused on what is best for you, your county? What is best for you, your state? And do they offer the true success in getting government dismantled? Because who's going to argue with me? We have to dismantle government. And I am going to go through a long discourse of proving that you're not hearing this message anywhere. Oh, because this is insane. The crazy guy in the wilderness speaking. This isn't insane. This is what we have to do if we're going to save the republic, if we're going to save our union, if we're going to save our rights, if we're going to save this constitution, and if we're going to save the government, the real government that it should be, not this illegitimate government that has been twisted and perverted, as we have seen and has academically been exposed. It is not a, I'm not kidding, folks. Our government is operating so far outside their authority that it has to be dealt with. This is why I say nobody can prove this stuff wrong. Nobody can prove any of this wrong. And this is why many of these groups gain great traction. This is why so many people are getting caught up into these assemblies and committees of safety and these different organizations. And the party is just trying to, you know, keep its head down and pull, you know, inch by inch forward in trying to get their agenda done. But in all essence, they are a part of the problem. Everybody is a part of the problem. And I say this because if you're not engaged in dismantling and working to dismantle unconstitutional government, not just, you know, stopping the curriculum in school, dismantling the unconstitutional government, then you're a part of the problem. There are lots of people that are doing, you know, some interesting and nice and smart things, helpful things, maybe helpful, but they're not the solution. And you know it. Everybody that has been listening to me for as long as I've been at this microphone knows I'm right. And so what are we going to do? Well, so strap on. We've got a missile ride for you. And we're not going to be going at blinding speed. And as a matter of fact, what I want to do first is I'm going to kind of cover what we're going to be covering next. And so this is why, you know, the Tory acts I kind of struggled with because I haven't read I don't read those as often as I do like the ratification debates and so, and the Constitution and so forth. So, but you can see why the Tory acts are so important, because as these men were organizing, they were actually organizing a legitimate government. It was a shadow government, but it was truly a legitimate government in a direction that they needed to move, and they galvanized that with the Articles of Association. as, you know, we are tied into a Republican form of government. They evolved that into the Articles of Confederation. Still flawed, but better than the association, giving this, you know, this general government a little recognition. But it's not enough. So they evolved into very quickly from association into the Articles of Confederation, into the Constitution. I can't believe how many misinformed people are out there that want to chant and want people to be focused on, need I say, focused on the Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation. They don't go back to the association, but, you know, we got to get back to there. We got to get back to that. We got to strip this all away as if the Constitution is the problem. Nobody can actually, you know, as I have proven, and I don't think anybody can prove me wrong. I just don't think they can. And it's not that I even, you know, want to even think that somebody can prove me wrong, because I truly believe that the Lord gave us this Constitution. He inspired that. All of framers basically attested to this. And this is why they demanded proclaimed for the very first Thanksgiving to honor him and the blessings he bestowed upon this nation for giving us, granting us this Constitution. And so they were in a form of enlightenment, and they created a document that literally started moving us in a direction, and they created a unique form of republicanism. And I believe when we start really understanding the American republicanism, in other words, representation of the sovereigns, then we start getting it. Now, we're going to expose you to a lot of stuff, and I'm going to fire a lot of stuff at you. So I'm going to try to go slow, because I know I can be a fire hose. And what I do for most everybody I have a conversation with, I record so they don't have to take notes, because it's just really hard for them to keep up. It's not that I speak at a clip, but I do cover a lot of ground when I get into little nuances and details. So we'll be right back after this promo. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so just let me kind of recap what we just covered. See, I am not a marketeer. I am not a self-promoter. And so I have this big, huge sign, and I actually got past it. And it wasn't until I was going to really turn the page and go, oh, shoot, I forgot that. And maybe I'll get better at this. But we ask you if you are watching any of our videos on YouTube, we ask that you go to Reclaiming the Republic channel on YouTube and subscribe. We're going to be dumping a bunch of content up there. So I'm working with the great Paul Venable, and going through the ratification debates, because that's what he wants to do. And so we're going to get those, all of those up. And then what we're going to end up doing, so that you can have those, is we're actually going to be going, well, so let me get through the content. But, we're going to have more content. What's really important, and I think what I will be working with the great Paul Venable on, is getting the Constitution episodes up. I think that's what our priority is. He wants to put the ratification debates up, and I completely agree. We need them. But I think he'll understand the insights of where we are academically for the curriculum that we have on this show. You know, believe it or not, folks, I actually try to cover very, very specific things so that you're exposed to enough of the information to know what was really founded, how we're supposed to be operating, so that you can start comparing and contrasting what we have and why is it operating that way. Sometimes it's important to understand the whys. Sometimes you want to know the whos. But, you know, in dealing with a lot of different leadership of different organizations and so forth, people want to know the who so they can go and, you know, and burn them and scorch them and burn them in effigy. And I go, you know what? Let's solve the problem first. You know, and we'll get into this. We'll get into all of this, I promise. But just in the focusing of YouTube, please go to Reclaiming the Republic YouTube channel and subscribe. If you do that, then when we drop these videos, when we start giving you the constitutional courses, and you know, I know there's lots of you that really do want to learn. You're going to want, because I think we're going to create a sub-channel or whatever, I think you can create a sub-directory where you go into that, and that's where you'll find all of the my reading of the Constitution and identifying what's being violated and so forth. This is the latest stuff that we just did. So we're going to put that up because I know a lot of people have a hard time listening, you know, over the live radio show. I do get lots of hits on my website, a lot more than I ever expected. But, and I don't know why I say that. It's really self-effacing. But anyway, it's that humility, I guess. And so I don't want to be popular. I don't want to be the national name. All I want to do is save our Constitution, save our liberties, which is why I don't want to create an organization, and I don't want to be a founding part of an organization. I actually want to get you to found your movements into your counties, because if we look at the annals of history, yeah, they may remember somebody like Otis, the guy that really got things started. But, I mean, not everybody knows about him. There's always these guys in the background. I'm telling you, the guy that did Common Sense. You know who I'm talking about. And forgive me, I'm bad with names. But, you know, he got way too much credit for his stupid pamphlet, Common Sense. This guy was an Englishman. He wasn't even an American. And he ended up dying in England. And the framers didn't necessarily like him because all he was doing was rebel rousing and never offering a solution. Thomas Paine, I think that's his name. I believe he was, you know, just like our evangelical conservative entertainers. They're out there distracting you, getting you to buy, insurance for your home deed, your home title lock, or what. As a matter of fact, I'm going to actually record either Hannity or somebody else when they do that commercial, and I'm going to prove to you folks that there is a huge market. Insurance companies get created, and I think that they're the ones causing the problem. And you should never have to buy insurance to protect your home. Your government should be able to say, I know you, I know that's your home, and I know for a fact that you didn't do that. They have to prove. They have to prove that you were involved in making those connections to get that loan and to basically create this facade that you don't have that home, and that's not your home. Anyway, We got all of that on the Bill of Rights, and we'll cover that probably down the road. But bottom line, please subscribe. Now, let me kind of do a recap. There's lots of different things you can do. You can get joined into organizations, and you can actually start working with, you know, other national leadership as you join their organizations. But in working with organizations, and when you look at who you're going to be working with, what is it that they bring to the table? If they do not have an absolute end of dismantling all of the unconstitutional government, if they don't have a course of how to do that, then what really are they worth? Are they really worth whatever the time that you're going to spend on doing that? We have to actually begin a very aggressive campaign. It's not that aggressive. It's just about proving that they have no authority to do this. We already have the academic script and argument that the only way to take back government is by taking over the parties. When I say taking over the parties, I'm not political parties. I'm not speaking of political parties. I'm speaking of the parties of the compact. When you look at your state constitution and your state government, the parties are your county commissioners, your county governments. They're the parties to that state compact, which once you get them start talking and working together, which is what I'm trying to do here in Washington State, and to be honest with you, I'm very encumbered because of my health and so forth. But at least I'm getting a reception. Now, what I need to do is get you to start challenging and thinking for yourself. You can do this. This is not that hard. All you need to do is get boned up. And as a matter of fact, the smartest thing you can do is start learning about your layouts. How does your county government function? What is their modus operandi? What is their standard operating procedures? They have standing operating procedures. So you got to understand those things. Will an organization come in and absolutely understand that stuff? Because I'm telling you, if you know how they wrote down their procedures, and you can then start finding the flaws of how some of their procedures don't align with the Constitution, but that's how we did it. Well, then we're claiming that your procedures are wrong. You cannot create a rule that abridges our right of petition. That the right of petition cannot have any encumbrance, any abridgments to it. What is the word abridge? And so we can be reasonable and say, okay, you know, we don't want to just necessarily have, you know, the hostilities, but we need to be reasonable and to make sure that they can't cherry pick what they want to listen to or anything else. But and we'll get into those details, but you have to understand what organizations bring to the table, and what is really important for your focus is what is best for your county and your state in leading you to succeed in getting government dismantled. We're not talking about dismantling those schools, but we are talking about changing the ownership, the respect of what that school is today. It is no longer going to be a national institution, curriculum-driven agenda of social engineering. It is actually going to prepare children in your community to become leaders of the world, leaders of engineering, leaders of science, and leaders of literature, leaders of true things that are tangible, not leaders of agendas that will destroy us. Because that's what our kids are getting. They are getting that type of education. Now, I was hoping this month I would have a hard schedule. It looks like we will be, you know, coming up with that schedule probably within the next week or two. And that's just because we're almost done through the bills and so forth. And so what I then need to do, because my next focus is trying to get out and create connections between these constitutionally minded legislatures in both Wyoming and in South Dakota. and in Montana and in your state if you're helping with us working. So anyway, so here's what we have covered so far. And this is where we need to go. We've covered the scale of liberty because we started the curriculum all over again from the beginning of the year, kind of covering what we have through the legislative season and so forth. We've covered the scale of liberty. We've covered the natural law or the laws of nature and nature's God. We've covered American republicanism, and we're going to continually maintain that very particular paradigm so that everybody can understand why this is so important, how it is defined, and what it really means. So then we covered the Tory Acts. So what is next? The next thing we're going to dive into curriculum-wise is the ratification debates. We're going to go through the ratification debates again, and we're going to go through the deepest dive I could possibly get for you. And this way, what we're going to do is I'm really going to try, because what's really important is, you know, making as much as I possibly can out of my opportunity costs, right? We're only going to be here for so long, right? And so you may not have an opportunity to actually go and buy or read the ratification debates, but I think you would find it priceless if you had an audiobook. And it would be great if I was a perfect orator. I mean, I can orate great when I'm talking, but when I'm trying to read some arcane language, and it's English, but it's, you know, the way they speak and their grammar is different and the way they spell and use words. So it's not easy to read, and it takes several times, but we don't have time for me to do all of the engineering, but we do have time to get through and do a deep dive. We'll get back to the curriculum. We'll be right back after this.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so there are times when I get asked, can I come speak? And I do, but I'm going to just tell you right now, I don't charge hardly anything other than the cost of my travel. Now, it's really hard, and the cost is kind of not really steep, but bottom line is I have to travel vehicle-wise. Traveling over an aircraft becomes problematic. And it becomes problematic because I have this little thing called an air machine, because when I sleep, I have to have this big air compressor. I don't have a CPAP machine, which you can easily fly with, because I need air during the day and at night. And so, you know, I have to travel with that. So if I'm going to go somewhere to the East Coast or where have you, it takes a little time because I guess we should move to be somewhere centrally located, maybe Denver or Nebraska, Tornado Alley. And believe you me, we want to get out of Washington. We want to get out of it's God's country here. I love the terrain and the geography and the seasons. It's just perfect. We have it all. But I mean, the wackos, the fruits and nuts, the insane asylum has taken over. And so we do not want to necessarily stay here and lose everything. But our hope is that we shouldn't have to move. We should not have to move out of our states to save our butts. We have everything we need to save this. So anyway, if you're looking to have me come by, then what we need to do is just figure out how long it, you know, and how long it would take and how much it would cost for me to drive and get there and be able to do. And please, if you want me to just come and talk for an hour, to, you know, that's nice. I would much rather come and do a seminar where I'm actually there for a day or two, where we can actually get organized and create small different groups where we can actually, and what I'd hope to do is have a few people there that could kind of lead in very specific educational training, not just myself. Because what I want to do is I want to make it to where we actually have a team nationwide of people that can start teaching American Republicanism, that can start teaching the concept of compact law, the natures of constitutions, and what Madison meant by, you know, these designs and so forth. What we want to do is we want to make sure that, and this can easily be subverted by somebody else by actually, you know, getting trusted, and then because I've seen it happen all the time where you entrust somebody, because we actually had a small business where we entrusted a retail outlet where we were repping high-end audio equipment. We trusted this guy as we moved out to, you know, fulfill our duties in the military, and we kind of left him behind to kind of do that. And next thing I know, he started stealing, and you know, you think, wow, I thought I could trust this guy. So, you know, there's always those apprehensions that I have. And so, anyway, there's ways forward. We can do this, but you really have to have the same kind of commitment of, you know, caring about saving our liberty and not worried about creating an organization and maintaining relevance of the organization. I'll leave that to the John Birchers, the Eagles Forum, and the rest of them. Those organizations can continue to, if they continue to thrive, great for them, bad for us. Because if they're not working in this new world of actually getting organized at your county level in your states and moving your county and states in the right direction, then they're swimming downstream. They're going in the wrong direction. We have to make the fight upstream. And then once we get all the way upstream, we will then be able to change the waters of our government. Because remember, I told you, we the people are the political fountains of political energy. And once we've taken over the counties, once we've taken over the states, there's no stopping you in restoring. And we can't revolt and create a Bolshevik revolution. This isn't what this is. This is all about holding everybody accountable. It's the easiest thing to do. And I'm telling you, it's the one thing that will win, and it's the one thing God will help us with. There's no doubt in my mind, he will bless us every step of the way when we act on faith, period. So we're going to get into the debates, and then we're going to go and dive into the Assumption Act, and then we're going to dive into the cod fishery bounties, and we're going to dive into Madison's essay on property. We're going to go into a deep dive, because I keep hearing people say, oh no, the Whiskey Rebellion proved that we have a right. And so the ratification debates is going to help set the stage on what that Whiskey Rebellion and why those men were charged with treason. Washington may have been hesitant in trying to enforce the laws. That's only because Washington loved this country and he loved these people. And anyway, we're going to do a deep dive on the Whiskey Rebellion. Then we're going to get into the 11th Amendment. And then we're going to get into the 1798 resolutions and the movement for Republic Review. Then we're going to get into the 12th Amendment. And then, what's the next step? It's on the next page, folks. Then we're going to start covering the state enabling acts. And then we're going to get through the Missouri Compromise. Then we're going to dive into the Monroe Doctrine. We're going to dive into this concept of manifest destiny, you know, and how it's been twisted as this perversion of Christianity. Because, you know, they say that this whole thing was about Christianity, but near as I can tell, Washington State and all of the other states, they didn't form any Christian states. And what I mean by that is they didn't form a church, or they didn't go out there, get a church started, and then the church was integral in the formation and operation of that state. You know, there were some states that were like that, like Kentucky and so forth, but this manifest destiny was a manifest of actually being able to find a place to land and to be able to develop a land of liberty. That's truly what it was. That was truly there may have been a few outliers, but the majority of the people, that's what they were seeking. Then we're going to get into the vetoes of the Department of Transportation. Then we're going to get into Madison's letters to John G. Jackson. Then we're going to start looking at the formation of what I would call unconstitutional government and its involvement in government. I used to just cover the Department of Home, but we'll add railroads and et cetera. And why? Because you will find that the federal government's involvement in transportation really started with railroads. And they actually started really doing things in agriculture as well. They started actually succumbing to supporting business. And this is where it all began. And this is because all of a sudden, people started recognizing the holes in our government of how they weren't clinging to this limited and defined government. And it didn't take long for corporations and legal operations to actually permeate into the Constitution. We're going to get into the 14th Amendment, Section 1, 2, 3, and 4. We may cover, I usually don't because I think anybody can read the Federalist Papers, and they're insightful. Not that I have any problems with them, but I do have some highlights I like sharing. And so I will share the highlights with you regarding the Federalist Papers. But as far as I'm concerned, you know, if we don't cover them, then because that'll be the first thing that'll fall off because it's the lowest priority. Then we have a bunch of miscellaneous topics, and these are very important topics that we're going to pepper throughout the year. And so we're going to probably inject these maybe during the ratification debates or maybe right after the ratification debates. First Amendment petitions. I'm going to dive into the history of this, you know, the background of this, so that you have a good... What we're really trying to do is I'm going to try to create these radio show podcasts that we'll actually have up on the website, just like all of them. But what we're going to do is I'm going to go in and edit, and we're going to cut out all of the different promos and only have just the little bumper music so that, you know, you got 1 minute of going out to break, coming back from break. And or actually... what I'll try to do is I'll try to actually, you know, cut that off so that we can really not have to do some of the music because I want to make these things as short as I possibly can. And if I do that, then I'm saving you the opportunity cost, the amount of time that you have to invest in listening. That's the intent in trying to give you the content necessary by using this medium that we're using right now in broadcasting content to you. We believe that that is important. We believe that knowledge and the law is king. Knowledge of the law is important. Ignorance of the law is how we got into this problem. Our constitutional literacy or our lack of understanding the Constitution is how we got into this problem. Now, there's some other side miscellaneous topics that we try to make sure we cover throughout the year. We'll get into those right after this last promo. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so there's been a lot of topics, that have been presented, the opportunities have presented themselves for yours truly to talk about. I don't care about those things. However, I do know that people, you know, are hearing, and they hear a narrative that just infuriates me. These are irrelevant topics. But if you're going to talk about them, at least place them into constitutional context. And so that's the only reason I'm going to be diving through a lot of this stuff. And we'll try to keep this to keep Feedback Friday. But there's just a lot of things, like I said, that I need to get off my chest. And so it's not necessarily about me. It's not about ranting. It's about stating the obvious, because I think somebody needs to state this. I think somebody needs to do this. And so we'll kind of cover those between now and before we get into the ratification debates. Because believe you me, when we start going through the ratification debates, we're not going to be talking about, you know, the world coming to an end, child, you know, some children shooting children in school. These are all symptoms of the problem. The problem is government is involved in things that it has no business being involved in. And it is doing it all unconstitutionally, and it is paying for it unconstitutionally, where we are not accountable for that expense. Whoever is buying the debt of America, they're equally culpable in this fraud. They know. I'm telling you, I'm not the only one that knows that the fact is the federal government doesn't have the authority to do all of these things. But they don't want you to know about this. And as a matter of fact, most people in Congress, as a matter of fact, probably all of the people in Congress don't really know. They just do what they're told. And everybody, even the dolt in the White House is just doing what he's told. We have organ grinders and we got lots of monkeys, and it's a great show watching them collide, get entangled, and all of that type of stuff. Folks, we're going to cover some of these topics, but let me get through the miscellaneous topics. Common law grand juries. I'm going to get Paul back onto the show. We talked to him last year. I promised to get him back onto this show. The parties and the Rhino Party. All of the parties. And you hear me talk about the parties constantly. We're not letting up at all. As a matter of fact, you need to take over the party, whatever the party of your choice is, and then you need to start basically proving how you actually have and are leading on the Constitution and restoring liberty, where the party is doing nothing close to that, nothing close. We've got Labor Day, Thanksgiving, obviously Christmas, and Memorial Day, and so those types of things we try to, you know, cover. It never works out. I've never once really been able to do the reading of the Bill of Rights by itself. So we just kind of tuck that into the reading of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, because December would be the appropriate time to do that. And it'd be nice to be able to do everything in time. But everything goes on God's schedule. That's the way I look at it. Because what is in front of us and what we have to do at this point in time is, you know, this is where he's put us. And so some of the other things that we get into when we go through the Constitution is all these little things called ex post factos and bill of attainder types of laws and so forth. So anyway, let's get into the latest and the greatest things that are occupying us. Now, what I've got to do, because I'm actually not prepared for this, but I need to pull up the Constitution of Wyoming. And the reason I need to do this is because, as you'll notice that what the Constitution of Wyoming has is a great definition, a great constitutional definition of the press. And so why am I bringing this up? Because Twitter and this Twitter investigation talks heavily about the freedom of the press, or, you know, is this the press? Is this a propaganda machine? And so when we look at the press, and I've got the Constitution open right here. And all I'm going to do is type press. Now, this is my version, or it's their Constitution, but it is in a Word document. So I can just boom. Now I'm right there where I want to be. And this is in Article 1, Section 20. And it says, this is the header or the headline for the section, freedom of speech and press, libel, truth, a defense. Every person may speak freely. This is what it says in the Wyoming State Constitution. Every person may freely speak, write and publish on all subjects, being responsible for the abuse that right, and in all trials for libel, both civil and criminal, the truth, when published with good intent and for justifiable ends, such shall be sufficient defense. The jury having the right to determine the facts and under the law, under the direction of the court. So what they did here was they basically said that the people have the right. They don't address the platform. The only thing that they have to do is they now have all, they just need to add one amendment or one modification, that the platform is not the people. That the platform is a base that has the power and authority to control narratives. Therefore, the freedom of the platform will not be granted. In other words, if you want to own a newspaper and you want to actually grind an agenda of anti-guns, then they can actually shut you down. If you want to have an agenda of sexual dysphoria or anything unconstitutional, like the labor, or I forgot what it was called. The communists back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, they actually had a little pamphlet newspaper, and it was known as the Communist News in America. And so that would actually not be allowed. It would be illegal to operate. We have the ability to regulate the media platforms. But what they have done is they have actually articulated that who has the right of expression? The people do, to report, and they have the responsibility for possible libel and everything else. So if the platform is capable of allowing people to speak freely, then they must let it. What this does is this ends the conversation of whether Twitter can censor or not. If they censor, they violated your rights and they get hit heavily. Heavily, 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 heavily. And so you can make a song about it. My folks, my friends, my patriots, my countrymen, We have the ability, the states have the right to be able to do this. How? Because when we look at the 14th Amendment, right there in the middle of Section 1, it says, no state shall make or enforce any law that abridges the privileges or immunities of a U.S. citizen, which means that no state can allow it. So Twitter has to register in every state that they operate. In other words, if you're going to do something virtually, then you actually have to operate in every state, especially when you get to that size. It's one thing to have a commerce, you know, and you're operating out of one state and your brick and mortars are literally right there. But if you're doing transactions in every other state, then you'll have to account for, and I don't like this, this is a South Dakota rule, but you'll have to account for the sales tax that goes to that state. And I would imagine that the states would agree that as long as a company's, you know, revenues, you know, from their state doesn't amount to anything more than a certain percentage, then they shouldn't have to pay. They should file. They should file and they should be registered. But if they didn't sell a certain threshold of money to that particular state, so this would actually help people and it would actually help businesses actually form. Why? And I'm going to tell you. Let's say you're selling a product and you're doing really well, but you can't afford to necessarily pay the taxes. So the people in one particular state where your product is really taking off, you may want to actually, you know, sell, you know, to because it's taking off that much. But if it's not taking off to a point where you wouldn't have to, you know, you don't want to break that threshold where you have to start paying tax on that, then you basically just don't, you can't fulfill those orders. And so you just basically tell the people, well, we're not going to be able to fill the orders until next year. That way, you can kind of keep your overhead costs without having to do the filing, because the filing of the tax itself is a burden and a tax. You can't tell me when you sit down to do your computing on your tax, that's a simple process. You have to, you know, go in to fill out the forms and you need to, you know, give them all of this intrusive information. We have to do complete, we have to repeal all of the government. And when we repeal all of this, get rid of all of these governments, then most of these hurdles of taxation will really go away. Why, folks? Because we don't have a taxation problem. We have a spending problem. We have a government overreach problem. Because as government goes and does, it costs you money. If we get government not to do so much and we allow ourselves to do and take care of ourselves, which is the self-government design, then, wow, now all of a sudden, most of the state taxes would go away. They may not even care about interstate commerce. They should. They should, because if you look at the magnitude of interstate commerce from Walmart and Amazon and those types of companies, absolutely. So, with that, the Wyoming Constitution is a great model of pulling in the press and actually freeing the expressions of the people. It expands our liberty. That's what we need to be doing. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.